Move to the next case of the morning, which is Gregory Shell versus the United States. Mr. Davidson.
May it please the Court, Your Honor, Ron Davidson for Gregory Shell, petitioner. The government in this case asks this Court to disregard clear, unambiguous, and bright-line rules that govern the Fourth Amendment in a sort of seize now and let the lawyers sort it out later approach.
Mr. Davidson, I'm having trouble at the outset trying to characterize what happened to Mr. Shell as a seizure, because he was going to have a visitor's badge affixed to him, however they do it down at Vienna, whether, I don't know whether they're pinned on or whether they go around your neck or whatever. And so the only thing that's happening is it's not quite the badge he thinks it is. I mean, we have, of course, seen this case in different incarnations as it's unfolded. So I take that fact, and I also take the fact that a prison visitor area is not like the rest of society. One's expectation of personal privacy is considerably diminished in an area like that. And that's why I have trouble kind of viewing this either as a seizure of his body. It's not like somebody snuck in the middle of the night and implanted a chip in him or something. He just is carrying, if you will, an item, just like if it was in the salt cellar and he picked it up and he's carrying an item that he didn't realize had a bug in it.
I understand that concern, Your Honor. As to the issue of him consenting to wearing the visitor's badge, I mean, it's quite clear that the consent to wear the visitor's badge does not allow the government to attach a recording device in addition to it.
So why is it so clear that that's true?
Well, I mean, there is case law from this court to suggest that we have to limit the idea of consent. If a police officer asks me where Dearborn Street is, you know, he can't arrest me because I've consented to giving him direction. And so we have to...
But what if he asks you to carry a suitcase for him, you know, down a block, and actually unbeknownst to you in the suitcase is a recorder?
Right. Well,
is that different?
There is the notion of him, by forcing him or requiring him to wear this without telling him what's going on, they've implicated his rights in deciding for himself whether to wear a recording device, whether to wear the visitor's badge, or even to have a ball and chain attached to him. I mean, these are different interests that Mr. Shell has in deciding for himself what to wear and what not to wear. And by disguising this as a visitor's badge and not actually informing him as to what the true nature is.
Well, it was a visitor's badge.
Right,
everybody
was,
had
right.
a visitor's badge that went in there. It has just had a recording device.
Well, that's right, Your Honor. I mean, this really is a case of attaching something to Mr. Shell. The means by which the government achieved the goal of attaching something to Mr. Shell was through this visitor's badge, and really is just a means of disguising what is ultimately the seizure.
Well, that was, of course, the whole point. I mean, if the government had said everybody who goes into the visitor area has to wear this special hat, I mean, you know, it seems to me, I don't know. I mean, there's an element of compelling his cooperation, but he's pretty much of a target at this point anyway, isn't he?
Well, he's recognized in the order as somebody whose conversations they can record,
right,
but that doesn't
right.
allow them to...
So the warrant says we can record Gregory Shell's conversations with Larry Hoover, and the warrant says we can do it in the visitor control area.
Right, but that, of
and
course...
And your argument is that it has to be, you know, a bug on the table or a bug in the lamp or a bug in the salt cellar or something, not one in the visitor badge.
That's right. The order implicated...
Why is the Fourth Amendment different?
Well, there are different interests that an individual has in preserving the privacy of his or her conversation, and that interest is distinct from an individual's right to decide for him or herself whether to wear a recording device or a ball and chain. I mean, if Mr. Sisko were to come up and attach a ball and chain to my leg right now for the next 2 minutes, that wouldn't reveal any information that I would not otherwise reveal to this court, but that has implicated my interest in deciding for myself whether to wear that ball and chain.
Yeah,
and
but that this is unique. Everybody that comes into this visitor's area has to wear a badge. but only people, I'm sure, I assume, mentioned in this order, those that were there to intercept the oral communications mm-hmm. occurring at the visitor's area located in the Vienna Correction. Only those are going to get the bugged one.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And it doesn't say how to intercept it. Now, if you're required to sit at the table with the flower pot, mm-hmm. you know, with the recording device
right.
in it, lean toward the flowers or whatever right. they tell you to do, you know, that does work. And, of course, eventually they discovered this little gadget. But why is this not in accordance with this order?
Well, there's no showing, Your Honor, that the normal traditional means of attaching it underneath the park bench or on the chair or using a larger microphone wouldn't have worked. And this is just sort of an additional intrusion that the government decided to engage in for no clear reason. As to your earlier point about the prison, I mean, wearing visitors' badges and administering the prison serve the interests of the prison. I mean, it's a far stretch to say that the government can seize Mr. Shell by attaching a recording device in him to serve the needs of officers hundreds of miles away investigating an unrelated crime. I mean,
well, but part of what the security measures in prison visitor centers are designed to do is precisely to prevent the prisoners from passing along things to the outside. I mean, that does, sadly enough, happen. So it seems to me, yes, it's a conversation that Larry Hoover was trying to pass along to the outside, but why is this so different?
Well, if the Vienna Correctional Facility were so concerned about the conversations between Shell and Hoover, they could have instituted a policy whereby all conversations were recorded, and we see, I think.
But didn't they more? That's exactly what they were trying to do. This was a fairly low security. This is an earlier phase of Larry Hoover's career, of course, a fairly low security institution, right? So if they had tipped off Hoover and Shell by saying, well, you guys only get to meet in this one little room with the funny looking plant. I mean, presumably they would have changed their behavior.
Well, I forgive me if I was implying that the state should have just put them aside. The point is, if the state were concerned about these conversations, you know, threatening the institution or the security of the officers, by all means, the state could have done what other states and other facilities have done and require, you know, individuals to talk on phones, which the officers can monitor. I mean, the state decided to monitor incoming telephone calls and also the mail. And if the state wanted to go ahead and monitor visitors, by all means, they can do so. It's a little strange for the U.S. Attorney's Office to say, we are so concerned about Larry Hoover and Gregory Shell's conversations that the first thing we're going to do is deceive all the good officers at this prison facility and, you know, tell them to put these certain recording devices in these visitors' badges and the like.
Well, let me ask you this. Then, of course, there are those phones, and mm-hmm. there are little notices by
yes.
the prison phones that the phones are monitored. What if at Vienna they decided, look, you know, we've been really having security problems in the visitor area. Every single visitor badge that we issue is going to have a bug in it, and it will transmit to a central control room so that we can, mm-hmm. just like they monitor phone calls. Do you see any Fourth Amendment problem there?
Well, no. The individual who goes up and enters that facility knowing that his
conversation... Well, no, I'm assuming the individual don't know that. This is the prison authorities decide to do this precisely for the same reason that they monitor everything else the prisoners do.
If the prison has an interest in preserving the integrity of the institution by this means, then I don't think that they'd be implicated. But this is not serving the interests of the prison. This is serving extraneous investigative tools, and really there is no end to this, and because they can, you know, I'm in a federal building, that means I give up certain rights, but that doesn't mean they can start going through my tax records and look
sure.
all through other means, and I think
okay.
that's the concern here. I guess I'll reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Mr. Siskel.
May it please the court, I think the colloquy during the first argument highlights precisely the problem with Mr. Shell's theory in this petition. It highlights that the only thing that was actually seized from Mr. Schell while he was visiting Larry Hoover was his conversations with Mr. Hoover.
Except, you know, Mr. Siskel, there really is something different about being forced to have something on your person as opposed to, you know, the bug under the table or what have you. And I just wonder how far the government plans on going with this theory. You know, before you enter the prison facility, you know, you have to have a shot, or before you enter the prison facility, you have to, you know, I don't know, carry a something that is bugged. And when you ask somebody to cooperate with the government without telling them that's what you're asking them to do, it's a little different.
Well, Judge Wood, certainly at some point the government would be intruding on the individual's privacy interests, on their liberty interests, if they're being forced to wear a ball and chain, if they're being forced to have a recording device drilled into one of their teeth. That's a very different case than we're talking about. Here we're talking about a de minimis intrusion, if any, intrusion on someone's privacy and on their liberty, and one that every visitor to the Vienna Correctional Facility is required to make.
So that's not so, though, is it?
Everyone, I assume the only bugged badges are the ones that with the named people.
Yes, Your Honor. By that, every visitor is required to wear a visitor badge.
Right. And
not every visitor is required to have a recording device or ends up with a recording device in it. But the point I'm trying to make is that if you're looking at the character of the government's intrusion, if there is one at all, the issue is really whether something is being pinned on somebody's clothing or not.
But I just want to make the distinction, because to make this cover work, everybody's got to have one. All the people that are just there seeing their grandkids or something and sitting out there in this picnic area or whatever they call it. So everybody's got a badge, I presume.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, so he's got the bug badges because it says they can intercept oral communications under this order. So I guess what I would want you to make sure to distinguish that this is a distinction. It's different. It's more than just a badge, but it is still within the parameters of the Fourth Amendment, where it's not a violation.
Certainly, Your Honor. This badge that Gregory Schell was wearing had a recording device in it, but the government had a court order authorizing the recording of his conversations, and that's the key distinction here.
You don't need to say how, then.
Excuse me?
Under this order, they don't need to say how they intercept these oral communications.
No, under clearly established Fourth Amendment law, they are not required to specify the particular way in which they are going to execute that warrant. They've specified, under the requirements of Title III and the Fourth Amendment, the particular place where those conversations are going to be recorded and the particular parties between whom they're going to record those conversations.
So they could sneak into his house at night and replace his watch with some James Bond-type watch that records everything, and it would be fine?
Your Honor, again, there are, I'm sure, myriad hypotheticals where there is some intrusion over and above merely intercepting the conversations that would present difficult Fourth Amendment questions. I don't think this case presents any difficult Fourth Amendment question, because what is done here is, in terms of the badge, the same thing that every other visitor is required to do, and then the only thing over and above that is that the conversations were recorded in the same way that they would be recorded if it was underneath the table or in a plant or in the ceiling at the visitor center.
What if somebody showed up, just hypothetically, not on Hoover's visiting list and not named in the warrant, but wanted to go and see Hoover and said, well, this might be a good idea. Give him the badge and let him go in, the badge with the recording device. Would that raise Fourth Amendment problems?
Well, Your Honor, I believe that the Title III application and order specified certain people,
right,
including Gregory Schell.
My hypothetical has a person who's not mentioned in the warrant. So we have a warrantless situation.
Right. Then
you're just giving a badge to somebody that has a recording device on in a prison?
Then, Your Honor, I think without there being some notification to the person, some basis for finding consent, there was no showing of probable cause to record those conversations in advance, and that likely would be an impermissible search.
So you have to have the warrant to do what you're talking about today.
Yes, unless there's something along the lines that counsel for the appellant suggested, where you're really suggesting a far more over-inclusive type search where everyone...
Stick with that example of you. Somebody that comes to the prison, they're not named in the warrant. I assumed everybody who had visiting privileges with Hoover was... subject to being recorded here with this rigged-up badge. Is that right?
Your Honor, I believe the Title III application and order lists particular individuals and then specifies unnamed individuals that there was probable cause to believe would be using those conversations to transact drug business. And there was measures put in place to minimize any conversations that were outside the scope of the particular Title III order. I'm not completely sure if it was that a recording device was put in for every single visitor that went to see Larry Hoover. Certainly, if it was, there was a mechanism put in place to minimize any conversations that were beyond the scope of the Title III order, and there's no evidence in the record that any such conversations were introduced in this case, introduced at trial.
You accept the proposition that there's almost zero expectation of privacy in a prison.
Yes, there are all kinds of intrusions on individual privacy that visitors to a prison are required to undergo, and in the scheme of those intrusions, this is relatively minor. But I would add that the government is not arguing that this recording device being placed in Gregory Sell's visiting badge, it has to be based on a security interest of the prison. It was based on the probable cause that was shown in the Title III order. The point is that in conducting the standard balancing test that we do in Fourth Amendment cases, you look to the whether there is a legitimate expectation of privacy and what kind of expectation of privacy there is. And in
I
the
take
prison
it there's no sign any place in the Vienna visitor control area that says anything like attention, any conversations you have may be recorded, or they have those little signs over the phones,
right,
in prisons. There's no generic sign, or is there?
Your Honor, I don't know offhand if there is. There's certainly nothing in the record that indicates that there was such a sign at the time that these recordings were done.
Well, as far as privacy goes, if someone comes in, there's certainly an element of privacy. If somebody comes in, the spouse comes in as a prisoner, and there's a rather heated discussion about whether she's being faithful to them. I mean, that's nobody's business but theirs. That's not, that has no right to record something like that surreptitiously. So I assume that when you say there's no privacy, there is some privacy, I would assume, that could not be breached without some general thing where you warn everybody, like the telephone.
Well, Your Honor, there likely is an expectation that conversations are going to be private, and then either you have some kind of notice and consent where you're posted that you are going to be recording conversations, or in this case, you have a court order that specifically authorizes the interception of the communication. My point was merely that if the argument is that there's something over and above that based on where the recording device was placed, then I think expectations of privacy on how your person is going to be treated when you go through security and go in to visit somebody come into play. Thank you.
Mr. Davidson.
Thank you.
You have about 2 minutes.
Thanks. I just wanted to address two of the factual questions that came up. It's my understanding that a visitor who was not named in the order was the one who was wearing the recording device and ultimately discovered that recording device. So I do think that some Hoover visitors not named did have to wear the recording device. And as to Your Honor, Judge Wood's question about signs, it's my understanding that there were no signs posted regarding anyone who visits. As to Mr. Siskel's argument that this was a de minimis infringement on Mr. Shell, that sounds quite strange to me, because nobody would want to walk around with a recording device or any other government device on their body. Individuals like to believe that they are free to determine for themselves whether or not to have their bodies be used as an arm of the state. As to Mr. Siskel's discussion of probable cause, we're not in this Terry stop and frisk world where an officer on the beat is in need of to find information from somebody who might run away. Here, this is a much different case. We have officers in Chicago planning ways by which they will, you know, attach recording devices to Mr. Shell. And that brings us into a much different world where, you know, the level of probable cause must be supported by an order, and this order did not reference a seizure or any implication on Gregory Shell's interest in his body. And for those reasons, the order to search the location did not authorize a different intrusion, namely the seizure of Mr. Shell's body.
Would the order, in your view, have to specify that they're going to put something in the badge?
Well, as long as there's any indication that the judge considered an infringement on Mr. Shell's bodily interest or his decision about what to do with his body. I mean, it's almost as if the chief judge didn't indicate any knowledge or any – there's no way of seeing that the chief judge thought about Mr. Shell's interest in his body in this order. So anything in the order that could indicate that the chief judge had considered that separate interest, I think would go a long way, and here we just have absolutely nothing in the record to support that. See that I'm out of out of time, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you to both counsel, and I understand you were court-appointed, were you not? Okay, we appreciate your good work for your client. In this case, it will be taken under advisement. We'll move to the